we're headed to Hebrews chapter number 9. If you'll flip there with me really quick, Hebrews chapter 9. I say flip there. Some of you can still flip there. Otherwise, I could say open up your Bible, right? Yeah. It's on an app as it is for so many of us, but one way or the other. And of course, we'll have it on the screen to help you out as well. But Hebrews chapter number 9 is where we're headed to begin. I want to look at a number of passages with you. The title of the message seems rather ominous, judgment seat, but I believe it's going to equip us and challenge us and encourage us and all as we walk through it today. Let me read these couple of verses with you to begin in Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Aren't you thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus? Amen. He will appear a second time, he's coming again, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that as we spend some time today, Lord God, walking through it, that you will that we will grow in you, that we will increase in our stature in you, Lord God, that we will be equipped in a greater way to live for you. I know your word never returns void. I pray that every passage that we read will accomplish all that it is sent forth to do in our lives. And I pray that the preaching of your word, Lord God, will help us to grow and be strengthened and encouraged in our walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me, Lord? I am yours. Build me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What a great passage. I mean, knowing that Christ is returning is good news. Amen. That's part of the passage. I'm not preaching on that today, but that's part of the passage. Jesus is coming again. I didn't grow up in church. I remember first hearing that Jesus was coming again. It was shocking to me to learn about that. And maybe you're here today and you didn't know that, but the Bible teaches us that a day is coming when Jesus is returning. He's coming back again. It won't be like the first time. He'll be coming back in all of his glory. He'll be coming back to rule and reign here on earth. We don't know when. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, but we know he's coming again. Amen? And that's good news. That's not scary news. For those of us who are in Christ, it's good news. The Bible calls it our blessed hope, our blessed hope. So that's good news. The passage that I read to you, it also speaks, though, of destiny. And when we speak of destiny, when we use words like that, we kind of speak of things that are meant to be, things that are preordained, a preordained plan for the journey. When everything just kind of falls into place and works out in ways that are almost unexplainable, we will say it was destiny. You could use it almost romantic. My relationship with Sarai, it was destiny. Destiny. Just a high five?
Oh, okay, I take it.
It was destiny. I'm glad she kissed me. She doesn't like the hair on my face. Yeah, so. I was clean shaven for 20 some years, and then anyway, that's a whole different story. I had a construction accident and sliced my chin open. That's true. Multiple stitches, and I'm so vain, I grew hair out to cover the scar. So anyway, that's my confession today. But anyway, we speak of things coming together, of things being brought together as destiny, things that are ordained to be and things like that. And we know that we serve a God who is actively involved in our lives. We know that we serve a God who is ordering our steps. The Bible says that. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So we know that we serve a God and we live our lives in this context of a God who is working all things together somehow in this incredible balance that he does with the fact that we have free will. Are you with me? So you're free to make decisions. And although you're free to make decisions and I'm free to make decisions, God still has a plan. And that's not too hard for God. God's able to balance those perfectly and still get us to where he wants us to be and all of that. So we're still responsible for our own decisions, but God is at work in our lives. And when we think of things being directed, that's what kind of that word would mean, destiny. But in the context of where we read in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews isn't really referring to life on earth. He's talking about our destiny after we die, after we leave this planet. What happens then? That there's something destined for us then. When we leave this planet, a day comes when all of us stand before God. It is our destiny. It is your destiny to want to stand before God one day. And you can't avoid it. You can't rewrite that part of your story. You can't buy your way out of it. When life comes to an end, we all come to that place. Verse 27 said this, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. It is our destiny. Now, it is said that there are two things that are unavoidable in life here on earth. And some of you may know what those two things are. What are they?
Death and
death and taxes. Yes, so it's a comical thing we say. But reality is, while those two things might be unavoidable, you could add judgment to that list. You can't avoid judgment. Death will come, judgment will come. It's very clear in God's word. And when we learn that, hopefully we get ready for it. Ready for this day when we will stand before God. You knew you were coming to church today, so you got ready. You got up in the morning, you got dressed. I don't think anybody's here in their pajamas today. Sometimes folks know they're going to Walmart, they still go in their pajamas, but you didn't, you're not going there. You came to church, you got ready. You know what's coming, so you get ready for it. We just prayed over Jonathan and Kelly. They're getting married in a week. Kelly, have you thought about what you're going to wear yet? Yeah, you've put a little thought into that? Yeah. She's not going to run out to Kohl's this week and grab something. She knows it's coming, so she's prepared for it. She's already said yes to the dress, if you will, and made preparation for the day. When you know what's coming, you get ready for what is coming. We would all do that. And hopefully, when we come to know that one day we will stand before God, we get ready for that as well. Who wants to go to heaven when they die? That's where we all want to go, sure. So we get ready. How do we get ready for that? We get ready by receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. We get ready by repenting of sins. The Bible says we confess our sins, right? With the mouth, confession is made. And in the heart, we believe unto salvation. So we confess to God, God, I've sinned. I fall short. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me. Make me clean. Jesus, come and live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. We get ready for that day when we know it's coming. We get baptized in water as soon as we can. The Bible teaches us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sins. We do what we know we need to do to prepare for that day. We get ready for it. And I hope you are ready for that day. If not, today's the day to get ready for it, because we all want to know that we're going to spend eternity with Him. There's only two possible eternal destinations for us. We either spend eternity with God in the place that He is preparing for us, or we spend eternity apart from God in a place of damnation, as the Bible would call it. We want to know that we're ready to spend eternity with God. Now, a story is told of a woman who died, and she came to that place where she walked up to the pearly gates of heaven, and her name was Mary, and she walked up, St. Peter was there, and of course, it's always St. Peter in the story, and St. Peter is there, and he says, Mary, you know, we were expecting you, and Mary steps over, and she peeks through the gate, and she looks inside, and she sees her parents and her grandparents, and she sees everybody just having a wonderful time in there, and she's like, oh, this is amazing, and she's excited, and she looks back at Peter, and Peter says, oh, you know, welcome. He says, there's just one more thing you have to do before I can let you in. She's like, well, what is it? He said, well, you just have to spell a word. There's just a word you have to spell. And after you spell that word, you get to come in. She says, well, what word is it? He says, oh, it's a simple word. All you have to do is spell love. She said, that's it. That's it. L-O-V-E. He opens the gate. Come on in, Mary. And in she goes, and he lets her in. Well, about a year went by. And one day, Mary was in the area of the gate, and Peter saw her. He says, hey, Mary. He says, I haven't had a break all afternoon. Could you watch the gate for me for a minute? And he says, you know what to do. You remember what people have to do when they come up? She says, yeah, they just have to spell love. Exactly. So if anybody walks up, you do that. I'll be back. And he left Mary at the gate, and off he went. Well, Mary only stood there a few minutes, and lo and behold, her husband from earth walked up. She was like, I can't believe this. You're here. And he's like, Mary, it's you. And she was like, wow. She said, how have you been? He said, I've been amazing. He said, you remember that young, beautiful nurse that was taking care of you when you were sick? I married her. And then I bought a lottery ticket one day, and I won $650 million. And I bought a mansion. And she and I have just been traveling all around the world and just living in the lap of luxury. He said, I was in Cancun water skiing and had an accident and hit my head. That's how I got here. Like, what a bummer. My life's been incredible. He's like, so what do I do? And she says, well, to get in, you just have to spell a word. And he said, well, what word is that? And she said, Czechoslovakia. Now it's comical. She's like, you already had your fun, buddy. Yeah. It's comical, but the point is, a day comes when we really do stand in that place. And of course, we have to be ready when we stand in that place. When we think of judgment, that's what most of us usually think of. When we think of judgment, we generally think of when we die, coming and standing before God, and we find out, are you going to heaven are you going to hell? That's what we think of when we think of judgment. We think of that, and that is a place of judgment. That really takes place when we die. There's a separation of the sheep and the goats. There's a separation of the wheat and the tares. There's a separation that occurs, and those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord, they enter into their eternal reward, and those who have not, the Bible says that Jesus said that they go to a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When we think of the end, that's what we generally think of when we think of judgment. And that's an important one, and we want to be ready for that one, and it's a big one, but there's another one. There's another one. The Bible calls it the second judgment. That's just the initial one. But there's a second judgment that happens for believers that we would never want to miss, and I want to show it to you in a few passages today. First off, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says this: for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So everything's going to be built on that. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, it's talking about this judgment day that I'm talking about, the day will bring it to light. Let me keep reading. It says, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. So this is not a judgment about salvation, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. This is the second judgment. That other judgment is about eternity. It's about heaven and hell. It's about Jesus. It's about the cross. It's about the blood Jesus shed. That first judgment is about, have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? The second judgment is not about whether you're going to heaven or hell. The second judgment is that we all face as believers. It's called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat. It's where we find out what our eternal reward is, not whether we go to heaven or hell. You saw very clearly in that verse, it's not about that. The foundation is Jesus. You're going to heaven. It's what do we receive once we enter into eternity. That's what the second one is about. Let me show it to you from a couple of other passages. Romans 14 says this: you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Now, he's not talking to unbelievers. Paul's writing to the church here. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We're all going to do that. We all give an account before God for the deeds done in the body once we became believers in Jesus Christ. Look at it here in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, do you go to heaven? Don't answer too fast. Make sure you get it right. Do you go to heaven because you're good? No. Do you go to hell because you're bad? This isn't heaven and hell judgment. That's not what this is talking about. You go to heaven because Jesus is your Lord. You go to heaven because you believe in the power of the cross. You've entrusted him with your life. So we're not talking about where you spend eternity. When he says we're going to give an account for the things we did in our body, whether good or bad, if he was talking about heaven and hell, that would mean I could earn my own salvation. That would mean I could get to heaven by being good, and I would go to hell for being bad. But guess what? You can't be good enough to go to heaven. Because the Bible says that our own righteousness is as filthy rags before a holy God. You can't be good enough. Good people don't go to heaven and bad people go to hell. People who love Jesus go to heaven. People who don't receive Jesus go to hell. Are you with me? That's what heaven and hell is riding on. It's riding on Jesus, not our life. So Paul here, he's not talking. He's not talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about our reward. Heaven and hell is rested in this, in Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. No one can boast in heaven and hell. Jesus came to earth, lived a life without sin, went to the cross. Our sins were taken off of us. Our sins were placed on him, and Jesus paid it all. Come on, that's a good place for an amen. Amen. Jesus did that for us. Amen? He died for us. He paid that. So after that, once we have received Christ, we still then give an account before God for the deeds that are done in the body. In the first judgment, everybody stands before God. This great separation takes place. As I've mentioned there, no child of God needs to fear the first one. When we stand before God, the Bible tells us this. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to spend eternity with God. Are you with me? Just as simple as that. If you receive Jesus, your name is in the book. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to stand before God one day when I know that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And when they say, okay, let's check the book. Be like, I hope it's in there. No, I don't have to live in fear. I can know that my name is in the book. I can know that Jesus paid it all. I can be secure in Him and know Jesus saved my soul. I trusted in Him. I couldn't be good enough. Jesus was good enough. I couldn't measure up. Jesus measured up. He paid it all. I trusted in Him. So I know my name will be in the book. I don't have to fear that. But after that first judgment, for those of us who are in Christ, again, I'm talking today about the second one. And this one is for believers. Unbelievers don't face this one. It's just believers. You and I who believe in Jesus. We stand before God. Our names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We shout hallelujah. We come in, and then we come to the judgment seat of Christ. It is here that we give an account for the deeds done in the body. Now, in the second judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, I want you to picture it with me. The Bema seat, if you're going back to like the Old Testament temple, it would have been like an elevated platform. So if you, I realize this whole platform is elevated, but picture, if you will, that this was an elevated section right here. And the foundation is Jesus. All right, what's the foundation? The foundation is Jesus. And we're coming before the judgment seat. And what happens when we come to this as the children of God, we come to give an account for the deeds done in the body. Everything is going to be placed on this foundation of Jesus. So that means I've already spending eternity with God. How I handled my marriage, we're going to put that on this platform. All right? Are you with me? How I raised my kids, we're going to put that on this platform. How I handled my money, my finances, we're going to put that on this platform. Everything's going on this Bema seat. What else? How I conducted my ministry, how I served God, we're going to put that on this platform. Who I was in my relationships, school, education, career, anything, every aspect of my life, my possessions, my accomplishments, my titles, anything I did, everything is going to go on here and be piled up, and you've got this big mountain of your life. This is your life. And we stand there, not deciding whether you go to heaven or hell. This is about your eternal reward. We stand there, and everything has been placed on it, and the Bible says then it is lit on fire. It is lit on fire. So it's lit on fire, the flames come up, and it begins to burn, and everything that I did for myself, everything that I did out of selfishness, everything that was just for me, all of it's going to burn up. Everything that was just out of my own selfish greed, everything that was had nothing to do with God or others, all of it is going to burn up. All of it is going to be consumed. And when the flames die down, when the smoke clears, when the ashes settle, there is going to be left there on that, and the foundation won't burn. The foundation is Jesus. We're secure in Him. It won't burn. Everything else will burn down. It will all clear. And my eternal reward is based on what remains. Not whether I'm going to heaven or hell. I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. I'm going to hell if I don't believe in Jesus. But my eternal reward, we are taught, is based on what remains in this second judgment. The foundation remains, and what was done for Christ remains. Now, there were some folks who came to Jesus one time, and they tried to trick Him. They came to Jesus, they said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They didn't really want to know the answer. They were trying to trick Him. They thought Jesus will say, thou shalt not kill. And then they would say, oh, Jesus thinks it's not so bad to commit adultery. Oh, yeah, he's a real winner. And they thought maybe Jesus will say, thou shalt not steal. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, well, I guess it's okay to not honor your parents or whatever. So they thought no matter what Jesus says, they're trying to trick Him. They're just going to throw a different command out and try to get Him with that one to make Him look bad. So they come to Jesus. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And this is what the answer that Jesus gives. It's in Matthew 22. Says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Then Jesus threw another one in, and the second is like it. They only ask for the greatest. He gives them two. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All. Somebody say all. All. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God. love your neighbor. Love God, love who God loves. What's going to remain when the flames die is what I did out of my love for God and what I did out of my love for my neighbor. You with me? That's what's going to be left. And my eternal reward is then based on that. So, I bought myself a nice new outfit. It gets put on the Bema seat. After the flames die down, is it still going to be there? Talk to me. Some of you aren't so sure. You're like, well, I wore it to church. No, it's not going to be there. I bought clothing for somebody else who was in need. We put that on there. Is that still going to be there?
Yes,
that's still going to be there. That will be there. Bought myself a nice new television. That's going to be put on there. Is the TV going to remain?
No.
Took up my finances and gave to help feed the hungry. Is that going to remain?
Yes.
Yes, that's going to remain. Prepared a lesson, a message for church. And I thought, boy, this is really going to wow everybody. And when they leave, they're all going to smack me on the back and say, Pastor, you're awesome. And you did great. And you spoke so well today. And they're going to put that on there. Is that going to remain? No, I did it for myself. Humbly prepare a word from God to deliver just to build the body of Christ and place that there. Is that going to remain?
Yes.
What I do for God is what's going to remain. What I do for others is what's going to remain. But what I do for myself, all of that is just going to get burned up. The British missionary to China, C.T. Studd, he wrote many poems, so this is a part of one of them. He wrote this, "Only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." The story is told of three men who died and went to heaven, and they got there, and of course, St. Peter met them as well. And they went walking in, and he says, come on in, and the three of them were walking along. He says, let me show you where you'll spend eternity. They came upon this beautiful mansion. He says to the first one, there you go, well done. The guy was so excited, he runs down the driveway. Woohoo, I don't know if it's a driveway, I don't know if it's cars. Anyway, so he runs up, he's all excited. So, and the other two are like, wait, do we see what we get? And they walk a little farther, they turn the corner, they get farther down the street, and they come upon another one. And Peter says to the second man, and this one's yours, look at it, look how beautiful it is. He's like, I can't believe it. And he runs up, he's so excited, he's waving back. And the third guy's like, oh man, I wonder what mine's going to be like. And they walk a little farther, and they turn the corner, and they go down another street, and there's this old broken down shack right there. And he says, there you go, that one's yours right there. He's like, what? How come those other guys got those big mansions and all I have is this? He said, we did the best we could with what you gave us. There's some truth to it, though. There's some truth to it. God is not a communist. God does not tell us in any way in his word that everybody gets the exact same thing in eternity. That's not biblical at all. The Bible teaches us that our eternal reward is based on our life here on earth, on the deeds done in the body. We give an account for it, and we are rewarded accordingly to that life. Not whether we go to heaven or hell. Don't misunderstand that today. Not whether we go to heaven or hell, but what our eternal reward is will take place based on that. Now, I saw Francis Chan do an illustration one time, and I didn't even try to mess with it because it's good enough that I just want to borrow it from him because it is, it's a great one. And in fact, Bernard, I picked on you earlier, so why don't you help me out? Why don't you take that end of the rope? Can you head down the aisle? Go all the way down it. Go all the way down it for me if you would. I want you to picture with me here. Let's try to get it stretched out straight. Keep pulling it to you. Even though you're all the way down the aisle, keep pulling it to you until you kind of get that knot out of it. Get that straightened out there. All right. Isn't Bernard doing good? I want you to picture something with me. That's good. That's good. Don't pull me off the stage, Bernard. I want you to picture something with me here. See, can you see this end of this rope that I've got this red tape on? I want you to picture this. Picture this as your life. This is your life on earth. This is your life here. So that's your life on earth. But all of this all the way down, all of this is eternity. All of this is forever. So this is millions and billions and trillions of years. And this right here is just my short life here on earth. So this is go to school, get good grades, get into a college, go to college, get a degree, go get a job, find a spouse, have some kids, work, try to save some money as I get through that, so that in the end I can retire, and this little bit on the end right here when I retire, then I can just have a good old time and do whatever, and I don't have to work anymore. And this is my life. This is a little blip right here is my whole life. But this is eternity, all of this. Eternity goes on for forever. The thing is, how I handle this directly impacts this. How I live this has a direct bearing on... I hope that was no one's grandmother, sorry. Has a direct bearing on this right here. But too often, she's going to take care of your home beautifully, Jonathan. It's going to be wonderful. Too often, we handle these only thinking about what's next in this. I go to school, and while I'm going to school, I'm not thinking about this. But how school goes is going to have a direct impact on this, because I'm going to give a deed done in the body. But all I'm thinking about is graduating and getting the job. And how I handle my job has a direct impact on all of this. But I'm not thinking about that. All I'm thinking about is working until maybe I can retire or get a promotion or whatever else comes right here. And as we go through, all we just keep thinking about is this little stretch right here. But how this is like nothing when you think of you're going to exist forever. You're going to exist forever. You're an eternal being. My body is not going to exist forever. But our spirit beings are eternal. You're not a temporary being. You live in a temporary body right now, but you're an eternal being. And how we live this life is what we're taught of there is what will impact our eternal reward. Now, that said, it's important to understand it's not that I have to be absolutely amazing in this little stretch in order to be blessed abundantly here. It's not that I have to be absolutely perfect in this little stretch in order for this right here to have unbelievable reward. But you know what I do need to be? I need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. If I am faithful to my family, if I am faithful to the call of God, if I am faithful to the church, and I don't just mean our local church, I mean the church at large, I'm faithful to serve Him, I'm faithful in what God gives me to do. God calls us to faithfulness. I might not be amazing, but I am called to be faithful. I am called to live for Him. And we do that. We are rewarded in this eternal way then throughout all of eternity as we live for Him. And it's everything. It's every part of our lives, our relationships, our marriage, our family, our finances. It's all of it so important. Let me give you another verse here as I pull this together. It's in Matthew 6. It says that this is Jesus teaching on all of it. Jesus says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths cannot destroy and thieves don't break in. For he says this, for wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. There your heart will be also, another version would read. He's talking about living for our eternal reward instead of just life here on earth. Life here on earth. Now, I'm going to do something that I might wish I didn't do, because then after I do it, it's going to get burned up in the fire. it'll get burned up in that. My wife and I have been married for close to 30 years, which is amazing considering the fact that we are not even 40 years old yet. But anyway, but we've been married for 30 years this year. We've been married for a long time. And in that time, God has blessed us greatly. We have traveled to I don't know how many nations. We've traveled all around the world. We have been on multiple missions trips. I have preached the gospel in many different countries, different states all around the United States. We've had unique ministry opportunities and doors that God has opened. They've been incredible. But through the course of those same years, we haven't acquired very much stuff at all. We have stuff, but we haven't acquired a lot of things. Because I know that my things are all going to burn up in the fire. Are you with me? My things aren't going to mean anything in the end. They're all going to go. I've been married for almost 30 years. I bought a TV one time in 30 years. One time. And when I bought it, I knew it's going to burn up in the fire. But I still wanted the TV to watch basketball, so I bought one. Yeah, so it's older. I still have it. I've had it for years. I want to know that I have a reward in eternity. So I've stood in the homes of people before whose homes are beautiful, and they have really nice things, and they have incredible electronics, and their car is incredible, and all this, and they say things to me, and I've heard this firsthand from people. People say to me, Pastor, it's incredible things, trips you've been on, things, and they say, I could never afford to do all that. You do the math. And I stand there and think, sure you could. You could do all of it and more. You chose instead to just do this. You chose to just take care of this instead of thinking about this. Instead, this was what was prioritized. What I would challenge and encourage us with today is to make sure, is this important? Oh, this is extremely important because my eternal reward is based on it. My eternal reward is based on it. But when we make our decisions with this, let's make sure that we keep this in mind. We keep eternity in mind, not just right now. Right now is all going to burn up. You're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. I mean, I'm 52 years old now. I'm like almost a third of the way through my life. There's a couple of math whizzes in here. This life goes by fast. This life goes by fast. Young person, you'll discover it as well. It goes by fast. Eternity is forever. Let's keep that in mind. Amen. Would you stand with me? We want to store up treasure in heaven. You know, Bernard, you could bring it all the way back down if you would so that folks don't trip over it when they leave. Hallelujah. That means not simply living for today. That means not simply living with today in mind, but living with eternity in mind. That means when I'm making my financial decisions, I have eternity in mind. That means when I make my relationship decisions, I have eternity in mind. That means when I make my career decisions, I have eternity in mind. When I make my education decisions, I have eternity in mind. I'm an eternal being. You're an eternal being. We're always thinking about eternity as well. How is this going to impact that? You want to know like I want to know that when everything is lit on fire and the flames settle and the smoke clears and all the ashes fall, you want to know that something remains. That something remains. It's not going to get you into heaven. You're going to heaven because you trust in Jesus. It's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus will get us to heaven. Don't mix it up today. I know I've said that, but that's important. But our reward will be based on that. We want to know that Jesus is then going to be able to turn to us and say, well done. Great is your reward. Look at the love you showed for me. Look at the love you showed for your fellow man. Look at the generosity, the things you did for your community, how you served me. Great will be our reward. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't you lead us in this, Kelly, and then I'll pray after we sing this through as an act of commitment.